You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm glad to see you all here. We're really excited to communicate our heart for the youth ministry this year and what we're about here at the Advent. For those of us who have not met, I'm Mary Ann McCarty.
My name's Ashton Holt.
John Mark Hawes.
And we are working with the youth. Really glad to see you all this morning. We're going to just talk a bit about why we do what we do and how we do what we do. So let me say a prayer as we get started. God, thank you that this is your church. Thank you that the children and students here are your children. We are your children. As parents, we're your children. I pray that you would be with us this morning. I pray that you would unify us under your ministry, under your gospel. I pray that you would be high and lifted up, and that you would guide and comfort us in the task of walking with children and students as they're following you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So just a bit of a roadmap for where we're going this morning. We will talk about, basically from Philippians, our partnership in the gospel between us as ministers and you as parents, our prayer for your students, how this is all relational. The church is a community endeavor, and this is an act of teamwork. So we'll set a little bit of just what we're thinking and why. And to begin, I'll read Philippians 1, verses 4 through 5. It says, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." From the very beginning, what I want y'all to know and what we rest in is this is all God's work. The work of God drawing your kids to himself, he has been about from the beginning. That's not something we can accomplish, but this is the work that God is already doing. God has been drawing you as parents to himself for a very long time, and he's going to continue to do that. I'm confident that God is working in you and in your kids, and we know he's going to continue to do that long after they move out of the youth ministry here at this church. And so really what we want to do is come alongside how he is already working in your students' lives, how he's already working in your families, and support you as parents as you are discipling your kids, because y'all have time with them way more than we do. They listen to y'all more than you think they do. And they're watching how you live. They're listening to what you say. They're watching the patterns in your family. And so as y'all are prioritizing church and Bible study and Christian friends and living in and sharing in humility and servant leadership, they're paying attention. And that's where we come alongside and continue to do that, hopefully, so that we're not giving them a separate message. We're not saying something that's opposite of what you're doing. We are adults in their lives also reinforcing what it is to follow Jesus together. And so we have a lot of confidence that this is what God is going to continue to do in them. We want to support you as you support your students. And we also know that you cannot choose your kids' faith for them. And we cannot choose their faith for them. We can't make it grow. But we do hope that what we do here helps them encounter Jesus in a relational way. We want them to grow a vibrant and relational relationship, a vibrant and strong personal relationship with Jesus. And we know that they're already on that path because we get to build relationships with them. But please, we do know that you have a lot more influence than we do on whether they come to church. We hope it's fun. We hope it's cool. It's not going to be the coolest thing on the block. The church has never been that. But it is worth it, and it is profitable, because this is the word, where the word of resurrection life is. And the three of us really care about that. We want your students to know that. So as we talk about partnering in the gospel together, we are asking y'all to help your kids come and help us know where they are and how we can go to them. Because we want to be with your kids. We want to work alongside the ways that God is already working in them. What our prayer for your kids is, what Paul prays in Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11, he says, "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." And then chapter 3 is all about knowing Christ. In verse 7, Paul says, "Whatever were gains to me, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. What's more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead." It's all about a relationship with Jesus, and that's what we want your kids to have, more than knowing about Christ. And the way we kind of consolidate this as a mission statement is that we would help your students know and engage with Christ, being formed by his word, his church, and his mission in the world. We want to empower them to take ownership of their own faith, a relationship with Jesus, grow in experiencing God's love, and knowing that that comes through Jesus Christ. It's God's work. Ashton's going to talk about what more of our heart for your kids.
Yeah, so a lot of what we do that kind of propels us to this in this mission statement is we want your kids to be biblically literate. And so we want them to have a really solid foundation that comes through the Word of God. We want them to be formed by it. The beautiful thing in the Anglican tradition and the Episcopal tradition is that they're already being formed by it. Like just coming to church, sitting in the services, hearing the liturgy. The Word of God is in your kids. And something that we want to help do is pull that out of them and show them God is in you. God is working in you. You actually have a foundation in the Word of God, and you can rest secure in it. Because a lot of what all of us really need, but especially youth students, is they need assurance that God loves them and God is for them, that the Word of God is in them, that they have eternal life. And so we try and call that out for them through his Word. Kind of like what Marianne said, we know that the church is not the coolest thing in the world, but that's kind of the beauty of the appeal of it, is that it gives them a place to come and be themselves. And one of the things we want to do is invite them to the Spirit-filled community of believers, where they don't have to live by lies, where they don't have to live in bondage to worship of self or whatever other idol you want to put in that place, where they don't have to be afraid of sin. We want to give them a context for freedom in Christ, freedom in the gospel, and that comes through the community of the redeemed. And so I think this is kind of what we're trying to set up as a youth group, is a place for them to come and be themselves, where they can rest secure in the love of God, rest secure in the love of other fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We want to be those people in your students' lives where they're not afraid of being themselves because they know that they'll be received. It's the same thing that you've experienced in church, probably, where you're able to come and just receive the love of God and others, or where you're able to ask for help in prayer. Like, that is exactly what we want. We want to teach them to be lovers of the Word of God, prayers of the Word of God, and people who live by the Word of God. Another thing that we want to see in the youth ministry, and something that we try and capture with this mission statement and just in the way that we've set up our programming, is an intergenerational ministry. And so we have lots of volunteers of all different ages, like truly all different ages, that are helping with the youth students. But we also want to see that amidst themselves. And so We have lots of events where it's just 7th and 8th grade boys, but we have other events where we bring them in with high schoolers because we want to give the high schoolers an opportunity to step up as leaders. We want to give the younger kids an opportunity to look up to them. It's a place for them to take ownership over their faith because we want them to be mature disciples of Jesus Christ. We want to give them a space to utilize those skills and learn what it means to do that. We've seen it happen. I mean, I'm looking at Adam and I'm thinking about his son, Isaac, seeing him step up as a leader on the kickball field. Like, that's exactly what we want to see. And the 7th and 8th grade boys love him and look up to him. And we want to give them plenty of opportunities to do that and to lean into that. Yeah, we want to call your kids into freedom, because the lie that they're constantly going to be hearing in our culture is that, and especially third generation, is that they have to figure it all out for themselves, that they have to justify themselves, they have to prove themselves, and we want to show them that there's a better way. One of the really good collects in the prayer book is, it's called a prayer for young, I think it's a prayer for young people, if you want to look it up, but one of the things that it says is, it prays that they would know that following God gives them more life than following the ways of the world. And that's hopefully our offering, is to show them that there's way more life following God than there is following the ways of the world. And hopefully that sets them up to learn how to make those decisions when they're on their own, to follow God and to trust the abundant life that he has for them. I love hearing what you have to say. Ashton has a great heart for students and for the Lord. And I'm grateful, very grateful. To move on to community, Philippians is all about this, all about following Jesus together and working together for the advancement of the gospel. So in verses 27 and 28 of chapter 1, Paul says, where is it? Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I'll know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. And then in chapter 2, he continues, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. The community of Christ's followers is how we learn to work out the salvation that God has given us. I tell the students all the time, Jesus didn't save you just for you. It's supposed to affect your life and the world around you. And it's not an individual endeavor. Following Jesus, having faith, is not just for me and Jesus, but it is for our neighbors. It is for the world. And so gathering together and working together for the sake of the gospel is a way that kids learn to grow in Christ. It's a way, it's the place where they learn to work out serving one another and serving others, servant leadership, considering one another as greater than yourselves. This is the arena in which we practice that, and the community we form builds a witness to the world. And so we care a lot about building a group, building a community of people that are following Jesus. And that's why our ministry is completely relational-based. And that's, John Mark is going to talk about those aspects. But before that, I wanted to just mention, these are two really profound books that I have found very interesting and helpful to know where your kids are at. This is The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt. It says how the great rewiring of childhood is causing an epidemic of mental illness. Sounds very scary. There's a lot there. I think the gospel has a lot to say about this. This is Never Enough, When Achievement Culture Becomes Toxic and What We Can Do About It by Jennifer Brenny Wallace. Also very, very profound. These are like diagnostic books, just kind of social science saying this is what we're seeing with teenagers. And a lot of what they're seeing, even
people writing these books that are not in the church are saying the kids who are in church are doing better because there's a mission for them to be a part of. There's a community for them to be a part of. And like Ashton said, this is the place where they get to exercise and experience their freedom in Christ. So just wanted you to know, we're paying attention to your kids and where they're at. And the best thing that they can do is be around other people and learn to build good friendships following Jesus. Yes, jump in.
Okay. I wanted to give... Oh, yeah. Got to record it.
I know.
Can I say something to that?
Yeah.
It's interesting because during the pandemic, teen anxiety spiked. It's kind of interesting because, you know, they didn't have more work. There were a lot of their responsibilities were dialed down. Mm-hmm. But it's because, like Marianne said, they were in isolation. Mm-hmm. And so in terms of social science research, being in community is one of the best things, you know, it's one of the single best. Social science research is validating that the segment of kids who have the best mental health in the United States is kids who are religious, who are very religious, and who attend religious functions on a high level. Mm-hmm. And so the matter of being in community and the positive outcomes, positive mental health outcomes are hand in hand. So just want to kind of validate what you're saying.
That's helpful. The reality of it is that they just don't know that they need that. Like, they have no idea that they need to be around other people, that they can ask questions and be safe to do so around other people because they're being told to be consumed by themselves. And we try and pass that message on to them, but I think y'all should try and pass that message on to them as well, is that they need to be free to wrestle with their faith, to wrestle with doubts. Like, we want to encourage them. We don't want them to have doubts, but we want to encourage them to wrestle with that among other believers so that they can come out as mature Christians on the other side. But yeah, it's like we're offering them something that is so accessible and just so ingrained in our beings, but they don't know that it's for them. And so it's a really interesting time that we live in. But yeah, we want to give them something different than what they think internally they need.
Programs. So in terms of community, we do try to do that through a couple different programs. Sunday school is one that we do on Sundays. That's normally right after the 9 o'clock service at 10. They're broken up into different groups. Junior high, girls and boys split. High schoolers are all together. This is normally a little more of like a formal teaching setting. There's normally more kids there than the weekly Bible studies. Right now we're going through Isaiah, which has been really cool and very challenging. At least for me, when I've been teaching on different weeks, Isaiah is not the most straightforward lesson, but Marianne puts together a really good lesson plan that we can use and all the different teachers can use to be on the same page from week to week, because we have a ton of different people teaching on different weeks. We also have weekly Bible studies, which are really fun. I do one on Tuesday and Wednesday, and the Tuesday one's with ninth grade boys, and they're crazy, and it took so long. It took like 2 or 3 weeks before I was like, how do I talk to them? You know, how can I say something that they're not going to be like, you know, just lock in? I don't know. They're just crazy. And I talked to Will and Marianne and some other people and got some good advice, and it's been fun. There's different ways you can teach that. There's different groups throughout the week. There's boys and girls are split up, I believe. Yeah, all the way through high school, middle school. I can't remember all the different groups we have, but there's one for, I think, most every grade until high school, and then 10th through 12th are kind of all together. And I think some people probably teach going in with a lesson. Some people probably use a little more interactive. Recently, I've been doing having them read the verse and then like try to explain it instead of trying to kind of guess where they're coming from. I just kind of tell them, I have them tell me where they're coming from, and that's been fun. It can work sometimes. You can do all sorts of different things, but it is fun. The other week, there's a kid in our ninth grade class who texted me the weekend, and he was like, hey, it's another kid's birthday, like, you need to say that in the chat, which is just fun. It's like they're thinking about each other. They're in the same group. And I was like, okay, sure. I didn't know if I trusted him because he kind of messes with me. So I had to check Realm, and it was true, and I was like, all right, I'll say it. And then I was talking to another leader who does the Wednesday one with me, and I was like, what's your favorite part of this? And he was like, well, it's actually like I didn't realize I needed this going into it. And I was like, oh, that's actually really profound. He's like, I just didn't realize that I needed to be spending time not just discipling and pouring into younger guys, but also like hearing the word in the morning throughout the week and kind of meditating on it. So I like those a lot. I also like this, but I had more to say about that. Sunday night gatherings, we do family night 1 week, and I think we do these every other week, generally speaking, and then we do game night. So family night's more of a lesson with the dinner, and then some kind of like quiet time, or not quiet time, small group time. We could do quiet time. We don't do quiet time. Small group time where we kind of like break up into small groups and talk about the lesson. We've also done prepared lessons that people work through in their small groups instead of like doing the one lesson for everyone. We kind of break up and you have more time to kind of work with them and see where they're coming from and talk to them and just have conversations. There's different ways we'll do that. We'll probably continue to do that in different ways. But that's fun. And we also do games on those nights. And then we also have a night that's just strictly for kind of like a game. We've done pickleball recently. We did kickball 2 weeks ago, or like a month ago, a while ago. And kickball was awesome. We had a ton of people show up. We had two different fields going because we had like 30-something. It was a ton. And we'd only really planned for one field. So we only had one kickball. We had to use a volleyball for the other one, which they did not like, but it's okay. And then pickleball was really fun last week on Sunday. And those are just like, those are great times to get everyone together, have community. I think, you know, we're two or three are gathered and as iron sharpens iron, it's fun to kind of create spaces for that. And that's kind of what the programs are geared towards, as well as kind of the mission of engaging with Christ through community and church and the word. These are all geared towards that. Contact work is taking time to call the kids or meet with them or, play football or whatever during the week. Retreats, we do one in the spring, right? And I think it's we're doing a separate one for girls and guys this coming spring. I've not done one of these yet. I've heard they're great. it should be great. I really don't have a whole lot. But it will probably still kind of be in the same realm of the mission statement of how can we engage them with Christ? How can we kind of build community and relationships with us, with them, between each other, and with Jesus. And then missions, we did a missions thing. It was like one of the first weeks I was here with Oak Tree Ministries, where we put together these bags with scripture and coloring pictures and pencils, and there's a bunch of random stuff in there, and partnered with Oak Tree for that, and that was really fun to have all the kids together, kind of like an assembly line, putting all the bags together. Very disorganized and crazy, but fun. And hopefully we'll do more of that kind of stuff. But I think that's all program-wise.
Yeah, missions is definitely another huge thing for your kids to be understanding that they are a part of something bigger than themselves. Getting them outside of themselves is huge, and obviously it's a lot of what Jesus has given us to do. Go and make disciples through all the world, right? And that's something we're continuing to build, is a partnership with a ministry that is actually just very very accessible and very good at what they do in Oak Tree, which is in Gate City. We can talk about that more if you've got more questions. And wanting to partner with Adam and others who are doing things either just around the church or global missions trips and things like that. So definitely want your kids engaged with spreading the gospel outside, just coming to church and consuming themselves, but learning to take it out is extremely beneficial for their faith. Thank you, John Mark. That was awesome. It's been so fun to see kids build relationships with John Mark. He's really good at getting them together and hanging out and just building a lot of trust. So very grateful to have you on the team. As far as teamwork goes, that's another big part of Philippians. There's multiple passages when they're Paul and others are working together. I'm not going to read this whole passage about Paul and his friends, but he's saying we're working together and they're sending each other back and forth between these churches, encouraging each other. And it's a really big part of their ministry. It's a big part of the way the church works. Paul is not out here evangelizing and teaching and preaching all by himself, but he has a lot of partners in the gospel. And then this bit in Philippians 4, he says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, I love and long for my joy and crown. He's really passionate and caring about these people. He said, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my coworkers whose names are in the book of life. There's a lot of people involved in building the church and working in the and what's going on in the church. And that's because we need the strength and personalities and stories of more people than just the three of us and just the two of you. This book has been helpful with that. Growing Young is really for ministers in the church, kind of saying how to engage young people in your church. But one of the biggest themes is that your kids need relationships with adults who are following Jesus that are not you. Not their parents. And we also know there's only three of us, and there's a lot of students in this church. And so, both for practical reasons and primarily for discipleship reasons, we have included a lot of volunteers in our ministry this year and want to continue to do that. So if you're interested in helping, let us know. We've got a spot for you. But it's really important for kids to have other adults in their lives and people that are probably going to be in this church for a very long time. A lot of people are in this church until their grandparents went here, and then they're going to be here until they're aged. And I hope we're here for a long time, but who knows? And so these students need other people. And so we have very intentionally incorporated volunteer involvement into the youth ministry and really excited to see that play out. See your students connecting with lots of people. I'm looking at Beth, and her daughter Jenna has an amazing relationship with Virginia Hornsby because they've done Bible study together for a long time. And it's just the coolest thing. And it's way outside of me. That has nothing to do with me. That's God working through their particular relationship. And it's a really good thing. So here's a list of some volunteers that we have this year. There's more room to add if anyone is interested. And as we wrap up, I'm also really grateful that we have a parents advisory team this year, just to put our heads together. Because again, this is a team effort, just like Paul in the Philippian church. I want to know what y'all think. And we're with your kids, but we want to know, what do you hear from your kids? So very grateful to not be alone in this work, be joining together both with the church staff here and parents, just really involved. I'm grateful for that. We really need that. And we appreciate your feedback and your text to say this is when this football game is happening. You can see X many of kids if you come to this event. That's really helpful. Because we ask the kids, and sometimes they tell us details, sometimes they don't. So any ways that you can help us know they would love to see you here, or this is their free time, when you could take a walk, any of that is great. Because we just want to be with them. We want to be with your kids to know them and follow Jesus together. So I hope you can see what we want for your students and how we're approaching that. We want them to have deep personal relationships with Jesus, that their faith would be their own, and they really engage with Jesus. And we partner with you as you disciple them at home. Our team is better for the volunteers across the age range of the church, and we're really grateful that you let us invest in and hang out with your kids. That's a real privilege that I don't take lightly, so thank you very much for letting us do that. Would love to chat if you want. Any questions here or after, we'll be hanging around for a minute. So Anything in particular anybody needs to say?
What are kind of some key themes or takeaways from that book, The Anxious Generation? Mm.
Yes. Yeah, no, for sure. The question is, what are some key takeaways in The Anxious Generation? The two main things is this guy has been studying the generation that really hit puberty right as the smartphones became super accessible. And he said, on one hand, you've got two conflating issues. One is, he calls it overparenting, to be like very hyper anxious, like I must know where they are at all times, and a lot of like hyper awareness on safety. So kids are playing outside less, they're doing things independently less. They're not like at maybe 10 years old running to a walkable store to get milk, like these kinds of things. They're doing that a lot less at the same time as they're moved online with total freedom. And as far as like they have access to anything. So we're like very scared of predators outside in the real world, not concerned or aware maybe of the predators in the real and online world where they have no boundaries. And then also the way that the time they spend online affects their brains. And that's part of why they don't know that they need to hang out with people. It's because they think they're hanging out with people online and it's not helping. It's actually very, very, very much hurting them. And he's not saying phones are bad, throw them away. But he has some very practical steps of like, I don't want to say what the age is. I think it's no social media until 8th grade or maybe 16 years old, that kind of thing. So he gives some practicality. He doesn't just say like everything's terrible, deal with it. There's some advice that I think is helpful for us to talk about and say, how can church actually help model those things? And that's one thing, like even on our retreats and when we come to family dinner and stuff, we encourage them to put their phones away and they don't know how to do it on their own. I don't know how to do it on my own. But it's, we have to practice being more embodied. And they need to be playing together and growing independence at a younger age than we think they do. Would recommend. Yeah.
Well, my generation is really the height of that. Mm-hmm. Like when smartphones were coming out when I was in 9th grade or 10th grade. Mm-hmm. And it's so detrimental because it takes so much from you when you're on social media, but it doesn't give you any maturity to combat it necessarily. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the role of a parent or a youth minister, any adult that has a voice in a teenager's life, is mm-hmm. you can't handle all that this is showing you. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, that's another blessing of a Christian framework, I guess, is a lens for engaging with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would recommend and would love to have conversations about that. Yeah.
I just want to say thank y'all so much for what you're doing. This is just so important, I feel, and I had such an amazing example, and it was pivotal in my life growing up, and I was blessed by a good youth program, and so I just want to encourage you and thank you. I know we have also very active parachurch ministries in the community, mm-hmm. which I think are wonderful.
Totally.
But I am very much in support of making sure that we have, you know, our kids know that where they go to church, they're drawing from the foundation, and then mm-hmm. they're able to go out. I don't mm-hmm. know how everyone feels about that, but, mm-hmm. you know, to find other
yeah.
places to engage in relationships with their peers. But
yeah. No, I love that. Totally. Thank you.
Look forward to different things.
Yeah.
I do know that growing up, one thing that was very propelled us as young, you know, coming out of 6th grade into 7th and 8th, was seeing the 9th, 10th, especially mm-hmm. 11th and 12th grade kids mm-hmm. who were involved, and we looked up to so much. We could not wait to get there to mm-hmm. be like them. And so, mm-hmm. just that example of the mm-hmm. order, and then that just propels the whole.
It. That is so huge. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. Obviously, time to go. I'm going to say a prayer, and we'll continue the conversation. God, thank you for your work. Thank you for yourself. Thank you for Jesus, your Son. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you would go with us in power and comfort as we continue to walk with these students as they follow you, as we follow you together. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.